The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John's on the other side of the glass. Together, a hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, November 22nd, 2021, the 58th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in Dallas, Texas. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off features John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for governor in 2010, and former chair of the Republican Party in Arizona. John, how are you?
Great. Great weekend.
Jeff Rogers is here, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how's it going?
Great. Wonderful weekend.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing since 1985. This wonderful family-owned and run business has been really helping out by supplying beautiful custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services and systems, and they do e-commerce now. So check out their website. Might find a Christmas gift that will be very appealing because they've got some beautiful things at Moe's Gallery.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, of course, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. John and Jeff, of course, today is the anniversary of a defining moment. John, in our generation, you and I pretty much the same age. It's one of those events you can reflect on exactly where you were when you heard the news.
I can. I remember I was standing in my high school in front of we had a big statue of Lincoln in one of the main hallways, and somebody came up and says the president's been shot. And I remember it very well. And then we were all in shock. I like John Kennedy. I wouldn't have voted for him had I been able to vote. But looking back, I think he was a patriot. He cared about America. He understood American values. And I don't have anything negative to say about him.
You would have voted if you could, though, for Nixon in that race.
I would have, yeah.
In the 1960
race. Yeah, I liked Nixon,
race.
Too.
Uh-huh.
That's not to say I didn't like Nixon, but looking back in retrospect, I think John Kennedy was a fine man. He was a bit of a womanizer.
Sure.
But I like his, he was an American patriot, I think.
Your experience, Jeff, your family was a pretty much diehard Democratic family in Indiana.
Yes, and in 1960, when he ran for president, he visited my hometown. We actually have a picture of him with our family.
Really?
And my mom got to actually meet him and shake his hand. It was kind of a meet and greet kind of thing, nothing more than that. But so we were pretty active politically in my family. My grandfather was a state legislator at the time. And so we were strong supporters of John Kennedy. And I think he represented, one of the last people to be veterans, who mm-hmm. were president.
World War II veterans,
yes,
sure.
And we had the first George Bush mm-hmm. was a veteran as well. And mm-hmm. we've kind of reached a point in time where, we're not seeing very many veterans in the White House. And we're not seeing as many veterans in the Senate and Congress as we used to as well. And so I think I agree with John.
Well, the Republicans have a lot of veterans.
I think I agree with John. He was a real patriot. I mean, he was an actual hero in World War II. And so I think a lot of people respected him. But one of the things that I think has changed dramatically for the better is that one of the issues in 1960 was was about his Catholicism and whether or not he would be, you know, sort of subservient to the Pope, or the Vatican would control our foreign policy. I mean, there were all kinds of issues like that that were really kind of discriminatory towards Catholics. And you notice in this last election that now we have only our second Catholic president in Joe Biden, and that really didn't come up at all.
And it shouldn't come up.
That's exactly right, and it shows how far we've come, at least in that one area. We've still got a building to do in other areas, but I think that's something we can all be proud of, that that wasn't a campaign issue at all.
I agree.
Would he have been progressive enough for today, Kennedy's? Would he be progressive enough for the Democratic Party today, Jeff?
Well, he would have had to evolve and change a little bit. I think he was pretty progressive when it came to civil rights. He and his brother, who was his attorney general, were very aggressive when it came to civil rights. And so I think that was a defining issue of that time. And fortunately, Johnson picked up the ball and got the Voting Rights Act passed and Civil Rights Act passed that Kennedy had championed before his death. So I think, yeah, he would be seen as a progressive even today.
And John, he put advisors into Vietnam during the Kennedy administration.
Right.
You wonder which direction, if Kennedy had not been assassinated, we would have gone in that area of foreign policy in Asia.
Well, that's right. I mean, we ended up getting in the Vietnam War because Lyndon Johnson lied about the Bay of Tonkin, and started sending hundreds of thousands of American troops into Vietnam as part of his lie.
That was the Bay of Tonkin incident, I believe, in 1965?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And I don't know whether Kennedy would have done that or not, but I am proud to say that the Civil Rights Act and the various civil rights votes in Congress were predominantly Republican votes. The Democrats voted against it to a large extent.
Only the Southern Democrats, who are now all Republicans, by the way.
but I think that, you know, the Republican Party basically in Congress got that passed.
It's too bad they don't give a darn about it anymore.
So that Lyndon Johnson could sign that. But I think Kennedy, you asked your original question, is he as progressive as the Democrats are now? And the answer is no. The old-time Democrats of that period were patriots. They thought America was a great place. They didn't badmouth America like the Democrats do today. They were not socialists in any sense. They had some things they wanted to do with the safety net, etc. But they were not what we would call progressives. The Democratic Party has moved way beyond what John Kennedy was, and Scoop Jackson and some of those Democrats of that era who believed in a very strong national defense really were strong Americans. The Democratic Party has moved so far left that has caused this disunity in this country. The Republican reaction to that has been strong, because we're pretty much where we were in terms of our ultimate value systems, and the Democrats have moved so far left today that we're having to really fight back vigorously.
What do you think of that, what John's saying, Jeff?
I think that's all bull, and John knows that. I mean, right now who's dividing America is the Republican Party, and I mean... Every day they get more and more extreme in order to kiss up to Donald Trump. And we can see congressmen like Paul Gosar. I mean, for God's sakes, he posts a video of himself as a cartoon character killing a fellow congressman. I mean, how divisive is that? and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, these are the people that are representing the Republican Party of today. And I'm astonished every day that they get more radical and more radical and more vicious, and they get more authoritarian, and they basically foment violence. I mean, this is the party of the Republicans today, a party that encourages political violence, a party that defends a president who fomented a riot and an insurrection against America and its institutions. This Republican Party is doing more harm to America and American values than anything in the history of the United States. And I will take you all the way back to the Civil War. Short of the Civil War, that's about as bad as the Republicans have become today. I find it astonishing. And we don't hear nary a bit of criticism from the leadership of the Republican Party for Paul Gosar and for Marjorie Taylor Greene and this Madison Hawthorne and these other outrageous people who get out there and foment violence. And, oh, by the way, what do? The minute that Kyle Rittenhouse is found not guilty? Look, he wasn't found innocent. He was found not guilty. Okay, and there are issues, legal issues, that support why that verdict was probably the appropriate verdict, but the Republican Party is out there lionizing this guy like he's some kind of a hero. He shot dead two people and wounded a third one. Came in there 17 years old, you know, illegally possessing a weapon that he wasn't allowed to possess until he was 18 in that state, and he came in there to foment violence.
Right.
And this is a hero of the Republican Party today. Boy,
John, can you hold your comments?
How far have we come?
Good. Okay. Hold your reaction till we talk about something we all agree on here at the Buckmaster Show, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery. My goodness, they have been just accepting and gladly so all these pie orders coming in. We had a very prominent business in town ordering 300 pies. Whoa, that put the team, they were working overtime, I'll tell you, up at Mona's, but there's still time to put in your order right now at Mona's Danish Bakery. Jeff, I don't know if I asked you 2 weeks ago, are you in the pumpkin pie area, or what's your choice?
Well, I'll have a piece at Thanksgiving, but I'm more of an apple pie kind of guy, and that's my favorite pie. But I will highly recommend what I had from Mona's yesterday. I had to make a trip up to the hardware store there.
Over Danish,
so
yeah.
Right next door is Mona's, and I had their cheese Danish is just delightful. Mm. I mean, really wonderful. So I thought, well, I probably shouldn't eat this, but since I was there, I couldn't resist getting one.
And John, what about on your table for dessert?
Well, we're doing pumpkin pies and apple pies and pecan pies.
Oh, you are doing pecan.
Yeah, sounds a lot like ours.
Very traditional. All right, and don't forget the Danish kringle to start the morning, or the Danish coffee cake, which is a kind of very close cousin to the kringle. It'd be a great way to start Thanksgiving morning. They're open right now. Well, actually, they're not. They're closed on Mondays now. They need a day off, I'll tell you right now. But they're open Tuesday through Sunday, 6:30 for breakfast. Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. You can put an order in, certainly on the web today, for Thanksgiving dinner rolls and pies and some pastries to start the day. We'll be right back with our face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off. John Munger seated to my right, Jeff Rogers to my left. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is our title sponsor and has been since we launched the radio show. Be 11 full years at the end of this year. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com. John Munger, you are up to respond to some of the things Jeff was saying about your party.
Well, you know, my comment emanated from my comment that the Democratic Party has moved so far to the left that Jack Kennedy wouldn't even know that party. You've got AOC and Ilhan Omar and all those wackos, and then you got Maxine Waters and all these people inspiring people to go out and riot in the streets. We had all these riots in the streets. Those weren't right wing people, conservatives rioting in the streets all summer last summer, burning down businesses in their own communities. Those were all leftists and so-called progressives. And then you get the mainstream media out there, and this the Republican reaction to the Kyle Rittenhouse trial was not a reaction to Rittenhouse so much. It was a reaction to the media. The mainstream media that had told so many, the left-wing media had told so many lies about Rittenhouse, lies about how he had shot three black people. There weren't any black people involved. These were all Anglos and Caucasians that were out on the streets. None of them should have been there, including Rittenhouse. I'm not saying Rittenhouse is perfect, but it was found beyond a reasonable or that there was, he was found not guilty, which means that they found that he was defending himself, self-defense. 12 jurors found that this was self-defense. And he was attacked by left-wing rioters in the streets, one of whom he killed had told him twice, "I'm going to kill you." Another one had a pistol in his hand. These kinds of people that the Democrats have out in the street hating America, Jack Kennedy wouldn't have agreed with that.
Okay.
And Jack Kennedy was a patriot, and he loved America. These people hate America. They want to show how bad America is, and the press goes along with them. So our reaction on the right to the Kyle Rittenhouse trial was it just shows up the mainstream media. MSNBC was found by the judge that they couldn't even come to the trial because they were trying to track down the jurors and take pictures of them and expose the jurors to danger.
All right, John, I want to quickly change topics, John and Jeff. The Wall Street Journal editorial Saturday, as Biden turned 79, President Biden's birthday was 79 on Saturday, a panic over Harris. Here's a couple of quick quotes from that editorial in the Journal. Democrats are slowly figuring out that Mr. Biden is unlikely to seek a second term, especially as voters conclude by watching him that he's struggling under the burdens of the job. So who's on deck, the Journal asks. Ms. Harris, Vice President Harris, isn't proving to be a compelling answer, hence the panic. Jeff Rogers.
Well, I don't think there's any reason to panic. I mean, it's 3 years away. Biden just had his annual physical, and unlike Trump, he didn't hide from it. He didn't hide the fact that he had a colonoscopy like I had last year, like many of you guys have had recently probably. He went completely public about it, and he actually published all of the relevant facts about his physical, and including the fact that, you know, he said, "I was having a little trouble walking," and it's basically spinal stenosis. And if you take a x-ray of
a spinal arthritis.
Yeah,
right?
It's basically spinal arthritis where the arthritis and calcium deposits in your spine are pinching on the spinal nerve. And so, you know, I expect all three of us have got a little bit of stenosis going on there too. Maybe not as much as him because we're not as old as him. But but the fact is that he was very forthcoming about his health, and his doctors explained, you know, the state of his health, which is quite good. So I don't foresee him being in any kind of unhealthy condition that would keep him from running again. Yeah, if he so chooses to do so, and if he doesn't, that's fine too. I mean, we've probably got as good a bench as any party right now, and I expect that there are many others who will step forward to run for president as well. And I don't think Kamala Harris is the leader of that pack right now. I think she hasn't done a great deal to distinguish herself so far, and I think that she's probably going to need to prove herself up a little bit more if she's going to be
very poor polling numbers too right now.
28% for Kamala.
It's very low. Kamala. It's very low.
Look, Jeff, Biden's in such great shape, then run him again. For God's sake, run him again. I'd love it. The American public understands that Joe Biden is senile. He's not willing to stand up to the Chinese. He's not willing to stand up to the Russians. He doesn't have any personal power anymore in terms of his energy. He is weak, and he's frankly senile. And important that goes with that is that this physical that he had was just that, a physical. There weren't any mental tests that went with that.
He doesn't need any mental tests.
Oh, right. That's his problem. His problem is mental. And he had a physical.
You're saying that the most important element, as far as you're concerned, would have been a mental.
And he won't have a mental test. He refuses.
Why should he have a mental test? There's no reason to.
Trump had a mental test, and he passed it with flying colors. You guys are so caught up with Trump. We have so many other people ready to run. Ron DeSantis. Nikki Haley, all kinds of people that are Mike Pompeo, other people that would be very strong candidates, and they would all love to run against Joe Biden. But Joe Biden refuses to take a mental test because he knows how it would come out. The guy's senile. He's not competent to be president of the United States.
Well,
the
let's only talk about what he's accomplished in 10 months compared to Donald Trump. Well, he cut child poverty by 40% with the child tax credit. He added 6.6 million jobs in 10 months compared to the 2 million that was added in the similar period 2017 by Trump. Got 220 million people vaccinated against this horrible virus going around. He invested $1.2 trillion in infrastructure. In our infrastructure that was absolutely necessary, did it on a bipartisan basis. He ended the forever war in Afghanistan. He shattered.
What a catastrophe.
Every day we shatter stock market records.
All right.
The Dow's the highest it's ever been.
And we've got inflation that's the highest in 40 years.
And the House just passed his Build Back Better
Act. He's got inflation the highest in 40 years.
All right,
He's got a problem with importing goods so that the shelves are bare. Gas prices are out of control. Bill's telling me to stop, so I'll stop, but I could go on forever. The guy is a disaster, and his polls show it.
We're out of time. John Munger, have a wonderful Thanksgiving
you
to you
too,
and
Bill.
Yours. Jeff, thanks to you.
And you have a great Thanksgiving as
well. All the best to you and your family.
I wish a great Thanksgiving to all of the listeners out there as well.
Thank you very much. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And remember, Moe's right next to Copenhagen, Dodge, and Fort Lowell, and at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowell and Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition, this Monday before Thanksgiving, as we kick off the Thanksgiving shortened Thanksgiving work week for sure. I want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving and how beautiful it would be to have a poinsettia or two around the house as guests come over. I want to steer you in the right direction for poinsettias. In fact, they do Green Things grows thousands of them in all imaginable colors, greenhouses full of them. They're at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Penton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo. If you're looking for some beautiful Christmas ideas and gifts, some of that handmade merchandise from Mexico and Latin America and Europe, and some of the Christmas items, the holiday decorations that Jan and the team bring back from Mexico, just really special things. Check it out. ZocaloVillage.com is the website, and the website for Green Things is Green Things AZ. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Dr. Trujillo, how are you?
Welcome, Bill. I'm great. Thank you very, very much. It's great to be back on the show this Thanksgiving week.
Just such a sad day when you think about it. 58 years ago, Dr. Trujillo, our young president, John F. Kennedy, was cut down by an assassin's bullet. I was reflecting, I was in high school. I was a sophomore at New Trier High School in Winnetka, Illinois, hanging around, where else, by a radio station at WNTH, our student radio station, when the wire, the UPI machine, suddenly banging out 10 bells. It was a flash, and it said, Dallas, Texas, President Kennedy was shot. The shock of that day remains with me until this moment, Dr. Trujillo.
Yes, I've often heard my father tell me the same reaction he had as an 18-year-old freshman at Phoenix College, standing behind a young lady who just dropped her food as the announcement was made in the student union. And it was very, very emotional for him as well. When you think about the trajectory of our nation, had JFK lived, boundless and limitless possibilities with regard to our involvement in Vietnam, the development of our economy, the fight against the Soviet Union and communism, what trajectory would have all those areas have taken? We'll never know. We'll never know.
Why I bring this up, not just because it is the anniversary, but when I think of the whole education experience, it's not just that indelible memory of November 22nd, 1963. It's my memories of going back all the way to kindergarten and elementary school, and influential teachers who said to me, you can do a particular thing. You, Dr. Trujillo, are in the business of helping young lives.
Absolutely. When you look at American life and American society, there really is only one transformational institution that really is responsible for determining the quality of life for the citizenry of this country, and it's the public school system. And in the heart of the public school system, as you said it, Bill, guess who? The classroom teacher. They wield a tremendous amount of influence in the development of our young people, and that's something we take very seriously.
Talk a little bit about infrastructure. We've heard about it's for bridges and this and that. Does that transfer to the educational level, our infrastructure?
Absolutely, Bill. And inside TUSD and TUSD land, we have our own infrastructure bill headed for the governing board's review at our December 7th governing board meeting. We're looking to invest close to $9 million in deferred maintenance for the district's HVAC systems, electrical, plumbing, security. We've got a lot of flooring issues. We've got a lot of roofing issues. So we have our own bill, if you will, headed for governing board approval. And it is very, very important because when children walk into a building, the walls, the floors, the status of the building systems, the building's appearance, curbside appeal, they send messages to kids in our community. They send messages as to whether or not we value them as a community that we serve.
Well, if the schools run down and, if you will, a dump, and they see that, and maybe they're starting as a young person in elementary school, that is going to be an impression that maybe they're, not maybe, it will translate to, I guess I'm not worthy.
Absolutely, Bill. It sends that message to the community that
yeah.
I'm not valued.
Yes.
This place called school doesn't care about me. And that doesn't necessarily foster the kind of family and community engagement that we seek to achieve here.
Now, the money for the infrastructure, will this be federal funding?
This will actually be a combination of federal funding from ESSER. There are certain categories of infrastructure spending that we can use some of the ESSER dollars for, largely for HVAC, that's heating, heating and air conditioning and all those systems. We can use for upgrades for air quality, but then we will also be using a significant portion of the district's operational budget, because what the federal funding won't pay for is plumbing, electrical, flooring, roofing, fencing, and a lot of the issues that we see around the district. So we'll also be using a significant portion of the district's operational fund to address a lot of the parking lot issues that we've had. We've got a lot of potholes. We've got a lot of parking lots that are dilapidated and old around some of the district's oldest properties that we'll be seeking to take action on.
Did Tucson Unified go all in on solar?
We did. We are the leading solar producer of all Arizona school districts.
Really?
With, absolutely. Just over half of all the district's energy needs are met by the 86 schools across the district that have solar arrays installed.
So I know we've talked in the past about the air quality in the school and the classroom was really upgraded. It sounds like you're taking now with this infrastructure the next step in this really what is turning out to be a total makeover of the physical plants of the school.
It is. You know, slowly but surely, we are doing everything we can to address the deferred maintenance and the infrastructure needs of really Pima County's oldest institution. You know, TUSD District 1, it was established like almost 150 years ago.
What?
And so we are Arizona's oldest organized public school district.
Territorial days.
Back to territorial days. And a lot of our buildings were constructed in the 1920s and 30s and 40s and 50s. And there's a lot of need. We've identified just about $50 million in basic deferred maintenance needs, meaning deferred maintenance needs that are due immediately, HVAC systems, electrical, heating, cooling, upgrades that we have to perform now just for basic functionality. So we're only talking $9 million, which is just a small sliver of what's needed. And of course, the state's historical negligence in funding public schools' capital needs in TUSD has meant over $170 million in funding that we've never received to address these needs since the 2009-2010 school year.
What about switching over to COVID? And it seems like everything's been COVID-related. I mean, COVID has been the huge elephant in the room for education since March of 2020. Are your young people now eligible for shots?
Yes, and as you stated, Bill, COVID has just been the full-time priority of the district since March of 2020, and it continues to be. And I think for us, two game changers right now. Number one is vaccine availability for all of our kids now. At this point, the entirety of the TUSD student body is eligible to get the vaccines. Our employees are now eligible to get boosters. We're very, very excited about that. And I'm very, very proud of our student body. They have been tremendous in masking up and respecting our mask order throughout the district. And then also in getting the vaccines, I'm seeing a lot of our, especially our high school and middle school population, opting to get these vaccines. We certainly hope it will be the same for elementary school kids as we head into this holiday season, which has us very, very worried.
What is your situation with COVID? How many shutdowns have you had generally?
You know, for a district our size, we're doing very, very well. We certainly have had our share of classroom closures. I think we're just something over 25 since the beginning of the school year, which is tremendous. When you talk about 86 campuses, and we see the majority of students bouncing right back, testing negative. So when we see situations where classrooms are closed because one or two kids have tested positive, we see 18, 19 students bouncing right back and getting right back into school within 3 or 4 days because they've been able to produce 2 negative tests. So that also speaks to the effectiveness of our mitigation strategies that we have at play inside of our schools.
Is that protocol almost becoming seamless?
It is. It's becoming seamless at this point. Of course, our dream is for 100% vaccination status for everybody. And that, of course, would help us to get fully back to normal.
Let's pause right here with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. We're going to be back with Dr. Trujillo, but first we'll take a break right here and listen to the wonderful people who support this program. Give a listen and support them. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. A lot of people are actually off this week.
not just for Thursday, Friday. They're taking the whole week off. So how about a road trip over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico? Only a three-hour drive if you're looking to get away. Maybe spend Thanksgiving over in Silver City. Just a different environment, just to get away from it all. The website, Southwest New Mexico, spell that out, .org. That's kind of the good starting place for to find out, well, what am I going to do? Well, there's all sorts of great activities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and some great places to stay. Check out Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We continue now with our conversation with the superintendent of Tucson Unified School District, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo, the OSHA requirements about testing, how does that affect your district?
Well, as all of our listeners know, TUSD is the fourth largest employer in Pima County. So,
how many employees? Do you have any idea how many you've got?
Just shy of 8,000.
Wow.
With all of our teachers and our support staff, bus drivers, cooks, custodial, monitors, security. Mm. So obviously, we're responsible for complying with the Occupational Safety Health Administration, otherwise known as OSHA's emergency temporary standard around testing and the vaccination of employees. Right now, as it stands, there is a stay on that order, and OSHA will not be enforcing the mandatory testing of employees for organizations with 100 or more employees. How long that will last, we don't know. The Biden mandate is tied up in court right now, particularly U.S. district courts. So right now, we have been issued a stay, but we are still internally working out an approach to that. And basically, the OSHA mandate offers organizations two choices. Choice number one is mandatory testing for every single employee and tying your continued employment to getting the vaccine. You either get the vaccine or you don't work for the organization. Option number two is, yes, we're asking every employee to get the vaccine, but we're also offering for the unvaccinated or those who don't want the vaccine mandatory testing every single week. Those would be the two options open to organizations if and when the stay is lifted. We don't know when that will be. So right now, we're just kind of waiting in the wings. We know we've got a lot of anxious employees wanting further direction, but at this particular time, it doesn't look like we're going to have to be taking that decision on anytime soon.
Do you have any idea what percentage of your employees have had some vaccination?
You know, we've done some internal surveys. We've done some internal, we've taken some internal polling, if you will. And it looks like probably around 65% of our organization is fully vaccinated. I think we are probably looking at 30% of our workforce has opted not to receive the vaccine. And again, that's very informal, just based off of a couple of surveys and polls that we've done. I don't think that we're unlike the American populace. I don't think that we're unlike any other large organization. Personally, as a superintendent, I do like where we're at right now. I do like the direction that our governing board has set with regard to testing and vaccinations, basically supporting personal choice. I think that that's the least divisive, the least politically volatile route that we can particularly take in this very, very divisive time that we live in.
What will you be telling the board at the next meeting, December 7th, about budget packaging for the upcoming years?
Well, I think my message to the governing board is going to be one of, this is the time to invest our dollars in capital infrastructure and to set the district up for being an exemplary district with regard to our physical plants, our campuses, our learning spaces for kids. If we're going to compete with the private and the charter schools, we not only have to walk the walk, we also have to look the part. And you can't look the part when your facilities are falling apart. I also think that my message will be, outside of that, we need to be very fiscally conservative. We need to take a look at the costs associated with the march to $15 an hour, which we know we're going to be responsible for. And how are we going to free up enough money to take the first initial steps to make sure that we can at least get everybody on the road to that $15 an hour starting next year.
Because the next budget package will not include federal dollars?
Federal dollars are at play through the end of the 23-24 school year.
Realize it went on that long.
Yeah, we're still going to be able to put those dollars in play for the 22-23 school year.
Mm-hmm. But then looking beyond that, that money dries up.
Looking beyond that, that money dries up. We have a little bit of an enrollment bounce back that we're feeling optimistic about. We in no way have replaced the almost 2,400 students that we lost through the pandemic. But there's some bright spots, Bill. You know, bringing back 520 high schoolers, being able to increase by 500 students high school enrollment, that is a huge bright spot that we haven't seen in other Southern Arizona districts with the other Southern Arizona district high schools. We've recovered 50% of our lost kindergarten enrollment. That's a bright spot because kindergarten is your pipeline. So we've seen some flickers of a little bit of a bounce back for TUSD enrollment, which of course is key for financial stability for years to come.
Where did the students go? Some just decided to end their education experience. Others went to other places, other schools. Where did they go?
We've seen probably the biggest trend with the kids that we've enrolled is, number one, I like TUSD's full-time online option right now. So the Tucson Unified Virtual Academy, we were able to bring in 400 new to the district students from competing charters and privates, which is great that have opted for that program. With students returning to the district, we've seen that they had left the district because they wanted in-person learning, so they resided at a charter or a private for a little bit. And then when we opened up again, they made their way back to Tucson Unified. The bright spot is high school. We see a lot of outside the district students coming into the high schools because of our career and technical education programs, our performance arts programs, and our advanced placement options, which kind of make TUSD high schools the destination of choice.
Testing kind of stopped, didn't it, with COVID? Is that started again?
Well, now we have a new standardized assessment that the old AZ Merit is dead and buried. Now the state has opted for a new one.
What's it?
You know, the abbreviation escapes me at the moment.
Okay.
But it is new and we will be administering it in the spring. Mm-hmm. So
this is a standardized test then.
It's a new standardized test, and this will be the first time that we'll have all of our students back and actually taking the standardized assessment. The last year of AZ Merit was horrible because kids were at home. They were on remote. They weren't taking it. So obviously statewide scores backslid a little bit.
So there's really been no gauge on how students have been doing through COVID.
That's probably been the most difficult challenge instructionally is...
Yeah, I mean, how do you know?
You just don't know because the validity of those instruments that we were trying to use were so compromised because kids were taking them online. We didn't know if parents were helping. And like most young people, you're online, you're at home, we're competing with Netflix and Facebook and Instagram. You're not going to open up your computer and take a test because we're asking you to.
No, you're going to walk away most likely, and you're going to go do something else.
Absolutely. So this is the first year we actually have bodies in seats and we can actually monitor the assessment process.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, we'll let you get back to your duties as superintendent of Tucson Unified. Want to wish you and your family all the best at Thanksgiving and beyond into the holidays. We'll see you over the holiday season, but immediately for Thanksgiving. Hope it goes very well for you. Get a little bit of a rest, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely, Bill, and my best to you and your family as well.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show, Monday of our Thanksgiving week. Be back with you 12:04. Dave Ramsey, his popular show on money, is next. Have a great afternoon.